This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. So that time wasn't too bad. I actually got the recorder put down where it needed to be, and I need to stop this. I need to stop this. Boom. Okay. Anyways, so it's been a good week. We've been puttering along. Aiden was on vacation from school all this week for spring break. However, we did talk with the Fairgrove daycare, and they've done a great job with him all week. So it's just worked out really well. We've got one more day, and Dustin does have a full shift tomorrow. So he's going to drop him off at my house at 5:15, and I'm actually going to try to have Aiden there at the daycare right when it opens at 6:30, because I have a lunch with a friend, or breakfast with a friend tomorrow. And then next week, we're going to try to take him to breakfast with me. So we're going to see how that goes. I do have, my godson is back in town, and so we had a lovely time the last time he was in town with the young lady that he's dating, who seems just extremely sweet. So, you know, they're still dating, and so he's going to be in town to try to do something, and then they're driving back to L.A., like the next day after. So I talked to them at Cracker Barrel and said, now can I just order like a couple of eggs and maybe some bacon, and you know, that's, they're like, oh yeah, that'll be fine. So we're gonna try it, we're gonna see what happens. I think it will be fine, especially if I bring something for Aiden to look at or play with, something. You know, I know for sure if I gave him his tablet, he would just be completely absorbed in that. But then I don't know how it would be on the backside of that. I'm not sure. I may have it for a backup. But I have other things I could give him as well. So I got him a little fake, little thin tablet-y type thing that you can scribble on it, and then you can push the button and it'll erase it, and you can scribble on it some more. And I might just try giving him that and just see what goes on. But that's not tomorrow, that's a week from tomorrow. So tomorrow the plan is get up, get him to daycare at 6:30, have breakfast, go do my stuff around, and then as it gets a little later in the day, we'll just go ahead and pick him up and, you know, wait for daddy to get home. We have a kind of an interesting condition at the house at this point, because Liz and Alan and the kiddos, the grandkiddos, are in London, and they're coming back tomorrow night. So we've had their two dogs, so that put us at two cats and three dogs, since we have two cats and one dog. And then my wife's best friend from college, Ray, is in town, and she's had emergency back surgery today. And that means that we had her two dogs join us last night. So that put us to two cats and five dogs. So that was exciting, and we still have two cats and five dogs, and depending on how long Ray is in the hospital and what happens, Ray may be moving back in with us as she convalesces, which is just fine. We have some rearranging that we're going to have to do, but we'll get that done. So yeah, that's home life, and interesting the way things work out. I think I mentioned work went fine this week. We're just moving some things along and getting things done, and I'm doing a lot of documenting, and I'm closing in on 3 months left before I go halftime. If I go halftime, you know, I probably will go halftime. I think it would be in the interest of AGWM for me to go halftime. But the executive of AGWM has resigned. I don't know who the new executive will be. In addition to that, the CIO is going to be retiring at the end of this year, and the new CTO is going to be starting in April. So I don't know what that's going to look like, but you know what? If it turns out they don't need my help after all, that is just fine too. I'm ready to retire, and I can just get in touch with all the people that do all the things and tell them, yep, I'm retiring. I am having a phone conversation next month with the Social Security office about, you know, getting prepped for retiring. I had no idea, but apparently you are supposed to talk to the Social Security Administration several months before you retire so they can get all the paperwork processed and get going, and you can start getting your checks from the government. So that will hopefully get put in process after I have my chat with them, not this coming Monday, but a week from Monday. So March 31st, I'm supposed to have a chat with them at 1 in the afternoon. And so that will be very interesting. Give me a chance to talk with them and see if there's anything that I've missed. I believe I can work as many hours as I want to, since I will be waiting until I am 66 in 8 months, which is my full retirement age. But we'll see. I'll talk to them about that, and we'll see where we end up there. And that'll be fine. In terms of the writing, I do have the beta copies for book 22, and I'll be packaging them up and mailing them this weekend. So that's all good. I delivered a few of them today. I'll deliver a few more tomorrow. And then I'll mail the rest of them probably on Saturday, depending on how the schedule goes. I will have some time sometime this evening, to get some things put together. But my schedule is going to be tight tomorrow morning, because I will need to leave the house with Aiden at 6:15. So I will need to be completely dressed in costume by 6:15. This is an interesting costume because it's National Button Week. Sort of. I discovered today that in fact all the advertising says, oh, it's the third week of March is National Button Week. That's the official. It's the third week of March. And then they say, because that's March 10th through March 17th. And it's, no, that's not the third week of March. Because that is not the third week, no matter how you cut that. Because even if you say that the week starts on March the 1st, no matter what, March the 1st through March the 7th then would be the first week. The second week would be March the 8th through March the 14th. And then the third week would be March the 15th through March the 21st. But they say it's the third week of March, and that's March 10 through 17. And it's I didn't remember that, but I looked it up today, so there's going to be a bit of controversy if anybody looks it up, but that's okay. We'll just, because tomorrow obviously is going to be the 21st, I'll just tell them we're celebrating a little late, though. So that'll be fine. But the costume, I've sewn like 500-600 buttons on a bodysuit, and then I have all these strips of stretchy fabric with buttonholes on each end, and I just wrap and button and wrap. So that button and wrapping part takes a little time. But I would also like to go to the bathroom before I put in all the final stuff. So I'm going to get up and get the bodysuit on and all that sort of thing. And then, you know, get Aiden settled, get him down. And then, I don't know, about 5:45, 5:45, maybe 6, I'll start doing the wrapping and the buttoning and the wrapping and the buttoning, and then I'll get Aiden up, and then we'll go. This will be the first time that I have gone in costume to the daycare with Aiden, so that could be fun. So we'll just see. We'll see what people think. This is not an extraordinarily provocative costume. So I think it'll be fine. Writing is going fine. I have actually started book 23 at this point. And I think I'm off to a good start. So I will take a break from that for a little bit here for the next day or two as I package up books and get them all taken care of. And then once we get that done, then I'm just going to start writing away. I don't typically need to start the first writing sprint of the new book until April 1st. But hey, if I get a few weeks ahead, good and good. Because I just have no idea what the rest of this school year is going to look like. I know I'm going to be taking Aiden to school, you know, through the rest of the school year and summer school. So that's going to be Aiden. That's going to be April, March, and May. And then we'll probably put him back in with the daycare for July and August. And then things get easier because the schedule is just take him over in the morning, go back and get him at night, you know. So that's all going to be fine. So there's actually two things. There was one thing I was going to talk about today. I had listened to a podcast with Jordan Peterson and a woman named Katie Faust. Really interesting. On Jordan Peterson's podcast, it was episode 527, which, by the way, I think this is episode 834, which means that last week was the first episode of year 16, and I just missed it, which is fine. This is episode 2 of year 16, so ta-da, we've got 16 years. Yes, this is episode 2 of year 16. So we've got a full 15 years worth of podcasts. And it will be interesting when AI gets to the point where we could just say, and there's all the audio files, you know, and it'll just take them and extract them all out. Because I'd love to have an analysis of what of my opinions on things have changed over the last 15 years. So it'll be interesting to see when that arrives. So Katie Faust has, I think the website, that her website is Them Not Us. Them First Not Us or something. And she, I think, has an absolutely correct viewpoint that nonetheless makes a lot of people uncomfortable across the board. And her viewpoint is that children have an inherent right to be raised in a two-parent home, biologically oriented. They have a right to be raised in a home with a mother and a father who are their mother and their father. And while she recognizes that there are circumstances that might be outside the control of parents to provide that for their children, there are still a lot of other circumstances in our day and age where the only reason that the children are not in a two-parent, biological male, biological female home, their biological parents, is because of decisions that the adults have made to promote their own desires over the well-being of their children. And, you know, according to her and according to other studies that I've heard about, it really is about the well-being of the children. So there are plenty of studies that are done. There's plenty of experiential evidence that she points out that you have three phases of motherhood, where you have the biological phase where that child is growing inside the womb of their biological mother, where they are bonding with the biological mother because that's what they know. And then you have the phase where the child has been born and those first couple of years of life where that mother is everything to that child. And then you have kind of the socialization stage where mother is helping train the child up to how to function in society. And she's a firm believer in the fact that children need their biological parents to raise them. And so, and then she was quite blunt about the fact that in this podcast, she just said, look, I'm going to offend everybody at some point. But she said, I feel like the children's rights need to be offended because in many of these designer solutions for people who want to have children, maybe because they've waited too long, maybe because they, you know, had their eggs frozen and that they didn't want to actually carry the child, so they just decided they would have a surrogate. In many of these situations, the child has zero say in it, and there is replicable damage that is done to this child. It can be seen and measured because the child has parents who preferred their own convenience over. Now, that, of course, there's lots and lots and lots of circumstances, and there's circumstances that are out of parents' control. My godson, who I will be having breakfast with next week, his biological dad died when he was very, very young. There were other men, including me, who kind of swarmed around the situation to help, and his mom did marry a good, solid man. And they've built a very successful marriage together, and that man did function as a father for my godson. But, you know, there's no question that there would have been differences in my godson's raising if his biological dad had not died. And so, you know, I think Katie Faust has a lot of good things to say, and I would recommend listening to the podcast. And she is absolutely determined that she's going to try to take over the world and make sure that people don't forget about the fact that biological children have certain needs, and those needs, in profound ways, do not get met unless the child is being raised by their biological parents together in the same household. And yeah, so it was really fascinating. And it was fascinating to hear Jordan Peterson, you know, he told her that he was going to play devil's advocate the entire time, and she had an answer for every objection that he raised and for every point that he noted. And he said a couple of times, he said, I'm not disagreeing with you. I believe this, but this is what people are going to say. And she said, I understand that. And, you know, so it was a really good discussion. And I think it's a discussion that, you know, we should all be able to hear and should all be able to listen to, such that we can not have situations where just because we don't agree with what's being said, we're going to shout somebody down. So it was really good to hear that discussion. I have an Amazon package. I was getting the mail. I have an Amazon package in the mailbox that I can't get to because the door was too close to the lower portion of the... And now the question is, am I going to be able to get to this? Woo! It's heavy. It's heavy. Oh, come on. Come on. Whoop, 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 whoop. Oh, and it's for me. I think. Maybe. Oh. Oh, that's the rest of the beta books. I didn't think I quite had enough in the box that I had, so that's the rest of them. Anyway, so that was very good. I also had a really interesting encounter at breakfast. My breakfasts have turned a little interesting at this point because I have breakfast with people of a lot of different political persuasions and a lot of different viewpoints, and I cherish that because we have a chance to talk and to, you know, consider many things, which is the reason I have breakfast with people. And, you know, eventually we kind of get on current events because we're in a very interesting time. I'm back in my garage one moment. And my buddy today, it's really interesting because I have mentioned several times about a mechanism that I use to attempt to sift my way through all of the varying sources of information and what those varying sources are trying to create within me. And my friend was very concerned about one particular thing and had expressed the fact that the particular approaches that were being taken when it came to all the changes in the government, he felt were going to directly lead to cuts in funding that would be detrimental, and in particular, detrimental to children's health. And he was very concerned that the cuts would in fact result in the deaths of children. Now that's an interesting conversation to have, because as soon as you evoke or invoke the deaths of children, then that becomes a showstopper. I mean, you know, how can you say anything against someone or bring up any point against someone who is adamant about claiming that if the present process proceeds, children are going to die? Who could say anything to qualify that statement? And I've expressed my approach to information before in other podcasts. But the first thing I said to him was, well, I don't really know what is being discussed in those areas. I don't know regarding the information that is being released in those areas, how much of it is true, how much of it is hyperbole, how much of it is just trying to generate clicks, how much of it, you know, is skewed. I said, I know there's a lot of skew going on, and he agreed with that. And as we talked, I said, you know, there's a lot of rot down in our information systems across the board. So there was that one issue that he was dealing with, and the other issue that he was dealing with was the deporting of a whole group of young men who were Guatemalans because he felt like the government was rushing and not doing their investigations correctly. And I just said, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's not true. I don't know. Maybe. And he admitted, he said, you know, if they are all gang members, there's no question they should be kicked out of the country. No question. But did people just get caught up? And, you know, were some of them here legally? And I said, I you know, I have no way to know that. I do know that the mechanism that I use for this is to pay very close attention to the reactions that this is genning up in me. And if I read something and my initial reaction is, rah, you know, I can pretty much count on the fact that that's flesh. And somehow the flesh is smart enough to know what it can get traction with within us. And it doesn't really care whether it's true or false. It just knows it can get traction. And when we feel those emotional, immediate responses that are anger or fear or greed or envy or any of those things, that we just need to take a pause and back up. And I mentioned again to him, I'm just trying to stay under the umbrella, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm just trying to stay under that. Because I really have no idea what is actually going on in a lot of these situations. And I told him my only hesitancy with the claim that children are going to die because of this is that I've heard that claim used before in different contexts. I heard it used in the context of COVID. So and so millions of people are going to die, you know, if everybody doesn't take the vaccine. Everybody has to take the vaccine or else, you know, people are going to die. And then we find out that the vaccine didn't actually stop transmission. And then we find out from Deborah Birx that supposedly everybody knew that the vaccine didn't stop you from getting COVID. That the only thing they thought it might do is in elderly people, it might keep elderly people from dying. But then in that case, there was no reason for young people to be subjected to it. There was no reason for children to be subjected to it. And yet they did that anyways. So as soon as, for me at this point, as soon as someone starts saying, oh, well, if this happens, then such and such is going to die. And I told him, honestly, this also reminds me of the argument that has been made to parents who supposedly have a transgender child. They've been told that if they don't agree to let the child go through this transformation, that the child is going to die. And he said, no, they said, that's not what they're saying. And I said, actually, I've heard interviews with parents who have been specifically told by their counselors that you can either agree to let the child transition or you can have a dead child. And when parents object, what they're told is, well, having a transgender child that has transitioned is better than a dead child. And, you know, my buddy kind of looked at me and he said, that's a stupid thing to say. I said, yes, that's, I agree. I agree. He said, no one should be saying that. I said, I agree. I agree. But I have heard parents interviewed and being told that is what they have been told. So it was a really interesting conversation. And I'm certainly open to any other approach for trying to figure out what to believe and how to react to things. But as I move through these conversations, I have yet to have a conversation with anyone where it does not appear, to me at least, that the best approach is to stay under the umbrella of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And one of the main reasons for that is what I've said before. If you stay under that covering, it will quiet your heart, it will quiet your spirit. And when your spirit is quiet, you can hear from him. And when you hear from him, it really doesn't matter what your physical circumstances are. He will give you ideas. He will show you the path. He will help you to find solutions no matter what you're facing. And he's really the only source for that. So absolutely the most important thing in our lives is to be able to hear his voice. Because everything else will fall into place if we can just hear his voice and respond to it. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.